Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Because freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand.
Good morning, and once again, it's Dave Plyer in for Bob Surratt here on 720 WGN. Memorial Day is a day we honor and pay tribute to the many brave generations who have fallen serving our country. There is a clear difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. However, I also want to take this opportunity to discuss how we are taking care of our veterans and their families who have sacrificed so much to keep us free. Joining us this morning is the Honorable Robert Wilkie, U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, who oversees the nation's largest integrated health care system, serving more than 9 million enrolled veterans. Good morning to you, sir.
Dave, it's good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, you are, some people might not know, you're an Air Force Reserve Colonel.
Yes.
The VA has been near and dear to your heart forever. Your father served in Vietnam, and when he came home on that second tour, it is something you remember every single day working at the VA.
Yeah, well, he was terribly wounded, and he spent almost an entire year in an Army hospital in Hawaii, Tripler. And then when he came back to us, he was a big man for his day, 6'2", 240. That's not even a college quarterback today, but in 1970, that's a big man.
Sure.
And he weighed about half of what he did when he went. And the good thing was that a great general by the name of Creighton Abrams, who had been the commander in Vietnam and then later chief of staff of the Army, and of course the main battle tank is named after him, he overruled the medical board. And he said, no, we're going to give this officer time to recover. And he did. And he ended up being a senior officer in the 82nd Airborne Division, which is America's most decorated combat unit. And what I remember vividly was how people like my father were treated, in the sense that here he was with that red beret and that incredible lineage of that division. That's the division that Sergeant York fought in World War One, when it was the 82nd Infantry Division. And he couldn't wear his uniform off post because of the times. And I've said that wasn't Berkeley, California or Cambridge, Massachusetts. That was southeastern North Carolina, which was the heart of Richard Nixon country.
Sure.
And that was the times. And we've changed as a country, but we've gone through stages like that. And we have to fight to make sure that we never return to those days. I'm looking out from my window at the site of a battle that took place here in 1932, when veterans who were not being treated well by the government during the Depression marched through the streets, and the Army was set against them. And I know I can point out the different spots where these actions took place. And there was somebody watching that, Harry Truman, whose picture I actually have on my desk. And he vowed that, you know, if he ever got into a position, and he was he'd just been elected to the, well, he was about to be elected to the Senate, that would never happen on his watch. And what he did was he put in this desk that I occupy now, he put in Omar Bradley.
Wow.
To make sure that would never happen. And then, of course, Vietnam hit and the country changed. But I hope we never go back to those days.
Your great-grandfather also impressed on you at the cost paid by ordinary Americans. Yeah.
Yes, he did. I've got his picture over my shoulder. One of my earliest memories is when my father was in Vietnam, my great-grandfather, who had fought in World War One, took me on the battlefield at Shiloh. Which is not far from his home in Mississippi. And he walked me through the battlefield, and he told me what was happening. I've always told people that the way to visit a battlefield is to go with a professional.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah.
Somebody who could tell you not the paintings, about the paintings of battles, but what was actually happening to flesh and blood human beings. And he impressed on me the scale of the carnage on that 2 days in 1862 and how many people died. And the story that he reminded me later that he told, and they told this story a lot in Mississippi because I think Shelby Foote used it during the Civil War, Ken Burns, is that there were as many people killed at Shiloh as there were at the Battle of Waterloo, but there were 25 Waterloos yet to come in that war, which sort of put that in perspective about, you know, the 600 and so thousand Americans who died in that war. But I also want to say, you know, in the middle of this crisis, veterans, I think, have a very unique perspective because they come from an institution where most of these folks, by the age of 23 or 24, have made more life-altering decisions than the average American will make in a lifetime. And they're used to tough situations, and they've responded magnificently. We started sending out the warnings early on, and even though we have lost about 1,000 veterans, we've only had 10,000 infections, about 10,300. And of those 10,300, 8,300 have recovered, and they're at home. So we have not been overwhelmed. And the beauty of sitting in this desk is that we've been able to provide organizations that we don't have any control over, day-to-day control over, like state veterans homes, with support. We're in 47 states and territories, and we've taken in thousands of civilians, thousands of veterans from those state veterans homes, and I've been very proud of the organization.
We're talking to the Honorable Robert Wilkie, U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and there's more after a quick look at your weather today, Dave. All right, it's Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking to the Honorable Robert Wilkie, U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Today being Memorial Day, there's always so many activities that are happening in Washington and across the country, and the pandemic has also affected how we celebrate our fallen this weekend. Talk to us a little bit about what those plans are.
Yes. Well, obviously, in these times, the plans have changed. Usually what you will see on Memorial Day here in Washington, D.C., is a somber but elaborate remembrance at Arlington Cemetery. Arlington Cemetery is closed. The flags that you will see put out will be put out not by volunteers or Boy Scouts, but by soldiers of the 3rd Infantry Regiment. In our cemeteries across the country, we've never closed. We've done thousands of internments during the course of this pandemic. But instead of having our Boy Scouts do the traditional flag laying that they do all across the country, we will be working with the Boy Scouts. We issued a joint statement yesterday. And they will be honoring our veterans virtually through our Veterans Legacy program.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great.
Yeah, all scouts across the country will stand at attention in their uniforms. I will be speaking at the Marine Corps base at Quantico at our National Cemetery there. Because I'm there, I won't be at Arlington for a very short ceremony. There will be no speeches. I believe the Vice President will be there. No families. But our cemeteries will be open for families, and you will see flags flying. Our employees will place them.
That's right.
And it is a special day. There have been 41 million Americans who've put on the uniform since the first shots were fired at Lexington in April of 1775. Of those 41 million, over a million have passed away, have been killed in battle. And this is their day. And as you mentioned appropriately, that Veterans Day and Memorial Day are two different days.
Right.
For Veterans Day in November, we honor those 41 million who have put on the uniform. And Memorial Day, we will honor those who have paid the ultimate price in a very different way of looking at things on Memorial Day. But we've had to continue. We could not do anything other than that. But it is going to be a little different.
You mentioned the Veterans Legacy Memorial. It's a website, which is really terrific. It contains a memorial page for each veteran and service member interred at the National Cemetery. And it's a great place to go to honor your family members when you can't be there.
Yeah, that started in 2019. And actually, I'm gonna take a step back and tell you something that is important to the people of Illinois. In fact, I'm looking at the prototype behind me. This organization was created through the spirit of one man, of course, Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, where he laid out his vision not only for post-war America, but for caring for soldiers. But he expanded it to care for soldiers, widows, and children. And we do have in each of our national cemeteries a bronze copy of the Gettysburg Address. But Mr. Lincoln didn't consider that to be his most important speech. He considered his second inaugural to be his most important speech. And we're going to be putting up, with a bronze relief of President Lincoln, we're going to be putting up his words from the second inaugural in all of our cemeteries to remind people why this institution was created. And
it's terrific.
In those days, it was the Veterans Bureau, and we have his words and his legacy to live by. And the Veterans Legacy Program is tied to that, is to make sure that we tell everyone's story as much as possible. And it is an incredible resource for children as well. We are very aggressive when it comes to inviting school groups onto our cemetery grounds for them to not only participate in wreath layings.
Well, and understand.
And to understand who these people are, whose names are on these pieces of marble. And that's very, very important for us. And I'm very proud of the Legacy Program. And it's part of we have not done a very good job in this country in the second part of my lifetime in remembering our history and what makes us unique. And I think this helps. Coming from a military family, I lived it. I saw it all around me. One of my fondest memories is I watched a group of officers snap to attention quicker than I'd ever seen them do it. And I was standing with my mother behind a rope. My father was in the grandstand. And this little fellow started walking by. I said, little, because he wasn't that much bigger than I was. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, who's that? And she said, he's in your Western movies. And that was Audie Murphy.
Wow. Okay.
The most decorated of all American soldiers. And I watched generals, colonels, lieutenant colonels, and majors stand up quicker than I think they ever had in their lives.
I bet.
And he was just in a suit.
Yeah, and made quite an impact on you, obviously, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I know, the VA, your main priority right now is getting through this pandemic, but it's also Mental Health Month.
Yeah, sure.
And we have the ongoing concern of veterans committing suicide a day, up to 20. Has the VA seen veteran suicides attempts rising, and what are some of the things in place you have right now to help with some of
that? We have not. I think that is because in any crisis, and you probably see it in the streets of Chicago, when people are in their communities and at home during times like this, or even in the holidays, they tend to look more closely at their neighbors. They check on people. Mm-hmm. The way we have responded, and we will be announcing in a few weeks the results of our Prevents Task Force, which will be the national roadmap to prevent veteran suicide. And that roadmap will not just focus on the last tragic act in a veteran's life. It will look at addiction, homelessness, and certainly mental health. But what we've done to make up for the inability of people to come in for routine appointments is that we've expanded telehealth. So in a normal month, we do 40,000 mental health tele-appointments. in the month of March, we performed 154,000. We took group mental health tele-encounters and raised those by 280%.
There's also, we always talk about the fact that some people who are in a situation, veterans that can't help themselves, there's resources for family and friends, too, in addition to the veterans crisis line.
Absolutely. Yeah, 1-800-273-8255. There's no voicemail on that. The average wait time is between 8 and 10 seconds. And we want people to call. And you just hit on something that separates us from other communities in the nation. When someone joins the military, the family joins. And when I was at the Pentagon as an undersecretary, I always said that if the family's not happy, the soldier walks. Well, that is doubly true for the veterans' experience. When we send out communications, and we've sent out tens of millions during this crisis, we also send them out to families and to caregivers. And I still want to tell veterans, if you don't feel well, don't come in. We don't want to endanger you or endanger your fellow veterans or our employees. Tell us what's wrong. We will point you in the right direction.
The Honorable Robert Wilkie, U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, I truly appreciate your time, this and every Memorial Day that you've joined me. And I thank you once again for everything that you do personally to support our veterans every day.
Dave, I thank you. And I thank you for getting the message out to the people of Chicago and the people of Illinois. It's always a treat.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. All righty.
All right. Top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom are coming up next on 720 WGN.